Yes, yes. Continue to pray for that as well. And pray for me for taking care of Brenda and Mom. We appreciate the prayers. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank Thee that You're just so gentle with us and that You handle us with grace and care and favoritism. Father, You've heard these requests this morning and You know what's going on in our lives. We just ask that You would use these things in our lives that we might be perfected by them in some means to give Your Son all the glory. For we ask it all in Christ's name and in His special blood. Amen. All right. I want to talk to you. Hey. What? No, we're glad you're here. All right. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. You know the one thing nice about a little bitty tiny church is everybody knows everybody and they're just glad to see you. You get so big, you know, I'm thinking maybe one day we'll get big and we won't know each other. Of course, if it takes 20 years, we probably won't know each other anyway. Like, who are you? No. That kind of happens now, I think, a little bit. I want to talk to you about the hope of the church. And we talked about how that differed from Israel. What I want to do is show you what is actually going to transpire. And it is going to happen, listen to me, whether you like it, whether you believe, whether you don't believe, whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter. This event is going to happen. And it is going to happen whether you're prepared or not. And my fear wasn't dying. When I got saved, I was 24 years of age. And I can tell you, I wasn't going around going, oh, I wonder if I'm going to die. I felt that it might be left, you know, I might be left behind. And we came across these books back in 87, 86, right when I first got here. And it was 88 reasons why the rapture was in 88. And I used that book that I don't believe the rapture was necessarily quoted in 88 or when that. It wasn't the time. It was the fact that it was going to happen is what I tried to stress out of the book. I tried to tell them, look, the realization is the rapture is going to happen whether in 88 or not. And I can tell you, people walked up to me, and you can ask Brenda. It was the most amazing thing. They tried to convince me they were saved. Now, you don't have to convince me you are saved. The one that has to be convinced is you. Y'all understand? You don't have to convince me. I had people wanting to look up Sunday school records to prove that she was in that class. And I'm like, you don't have to do all that. I don't know. I had this one guy get saved, and his wife got mad at me. I'm like, what is up with that? Your husband just gained eternal life. You know why she was mad? She was lost. But you know what? This event is going to happen. And it is going to happen whether you like it or not. And your salvation will be finalized at that point. Did you hear me? Your salvation will be finalized at that point. I don't like that color. I'm going through my box. Oh, yeah, I've got all kinds of... Oh, hey, what is this? Hey! Wow! Wow! Are there different colors? I don't know, but that is very exciting. I'm excited. Ooh, I'm going to preach good now. The timeline is we put it up so regularly. And the reason we do that is because everything's happening on time. And the saving of the Apostle Paul, there's Acts chapter 9. And that has gone on for approximately 2,000 years. But guess what's coming to an end? The church age. Grace is coming to an end. And it's going to come to an end with this event right here. Now, the problem is we don't know that time. It's not like the day is known. I can't tell you that. I can't even tell you the week. But I can tell you that everything, who would ever believe we would be where we are in the world today, economically, and on the verge of collapse as the United States of America. Would anybody have 20 years ago said that would have been possible? And now, Greece has fallen. Iceland has fallen. You know what they're thinking? Spain's going to fall, and Portugal right behind that. Let me tell you, those start dominoing. California is bankrupt. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal with California? It's a part of the United States. California, believe it or not, is the eighth largest economy in the world. The state itself. Eighth largest economy in the world. They don't tell you that because they don't want to freak you out. You take your money out of the bank and hide. And taking your money out of the bank will make the spiral go even tighter. And guess what people are starting to do? You know? They're putting it in gold, and I mean, that's obvious, the way gold's running up. I can tell you that the fight is between the Muslims and the Jews. How many even heard of a Muslim 20 years ago, really? How many? Anybody here? Not really. I mean, you knew the Muslim faith, the Hindu, the Buddha. You didn't know any Muslims. Amen? Now how many people know Muslims? Everybody knows a Muslim. I can't. And you will get a bounce back. Y'all understand? And the conflict is between that set. Guess what has to happen in the end times? I did a 20-week study. You ought to look on the webpage. It's called the 70th Weeks of Daniel. If you haven't gone through that series, you need to go through it. You know what you find in that series? The most powerful country in the world. Brenda, would you take him in the back so she can go with Miss Brenda? She's going to take you back and have fun.
So quiet, I forgot.
Yeah, he's so. No, you sit down, Mom. We got it.
He's behaving. Yeah, he'll have fun, but.
Oh, buddy, he's going to have fun. Anybody that has Miss Brenda's going to have fun. I wake up to her every morning. You know, it's wonderful to wake up every morning with the love of your life in your arms. I can tell you, it is the most incredible thing. People think I'm joshing. I adore my wife. It's incredible. And I appreciate her so much. She does a lot for the ministry that people don't even see. And she is a remarkable human being. And is, you know, just blessed. I feel so blessed. Anyway, I've never heard about, you know, the economic crash coming. But you know what? I do believe there is an economic crash coming. And I don't believe it will be the tribulation period. I believe it all has to kind of happen before all that. Okay? And I think it's going to be bad. You know? And I think you ought to have a garden. You know, you probably ought to be smart to plant something. Or at least try to grow a tomato plant or something. I got six of them. Don't come to my house.
As long as it's not a toxic turd.
You know? Yeah, don't buy a toxic turd. That is the biggest ripoff. Have anybody tried those topsy-turvies? Did you grow any tomatoes? Really? Mine grew up. One, did you ever see the picture? The plants hanging down and all the thing? Mine turned up sideways and covered the topsy-turvy where you couldn't even see it anymore. I'm like, that's ridiculous. It doesn't look anything like the picture. But anyway, that didn't work. But I'm now trying new ways of planting tomatoes. William's been helping me, sort of. You ought to be thinking a little wiser than you did. You can't tell what's going to happen. What happens, I'm just giving you a thought here. This may not affect many of you. But what happens if all of a sudden your account freezes in your accounts? Your checking account, debit card, you know, that kind of thing. It just freezes. What would you do? What would you do?
Jump up and down because it won't go keep going negative.
Well, I said it wouldn't affect all of us, so that might be a problem. You all understand? I mean, what would you do? That's what happened in Iceland. The banks couldn't write anymore, so the banks shut down. They didn't even have that on national news, guys, the whole country.
Wow.
You can look it still on YouTube. If all of a sudden the grocery stores can't run your debit card or your credit card or your check, all they can take is cash, what are you going to do? How long are you going to survive? So everything's kind of set up. Have you heard of this fund right here? The IMF. It's the International Monetary Fund. That's who's bailing out Greece. All these countries are members of the IMF. I can tell you, that's no coincidence. The IMF will ultimately get rid of, guess what's going to happen to the dollar? Say, adios, amigo. It's going. And there's going to be a one world currency. That's what they did in Europe. Euro's crashing. And now they're going to bring the whole thing under one economic thing to control all of it. Now, that's coming. But there is the event. Before that, all will transpire. There's an event that will transpire before that called the rapture. The rapture is not a Bible term. Caught up or catching out is a Bible term. And I want you to go in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So I believe that there are events coming down the pike that we're setting up that I could tell you, I am shocked at the progress that they're making. Satan and his regime. And it's going to take over. And buddy, I'm telling you, it's going to be serious. But I got some good news. Verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Y'all turning? You had a spare Bible in that. Okay. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's comforting words. And he tells us in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But that wouldn't be words of comfort to a lost person. Y'all understand? Those words aren't comforting to him. That's what made me uncomfortable when I was lost. Thinking, you know what? I can buffalo this person and that person. But when that shout and that voice of the archangel comes, if I'm not saved, I'm going to go to hell. And be assured of that. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's what I said. Today, your salvation is sealed in this room. God knows those that are His. Make no mistake. God knows. And you can fake it out to me. You can fake it out to your friends in Christ. But you're not faking it out to the one that it matters. Y'all understand? This is very important stuff. In 2 Thessalonians, did I tell you 2 Thessalonians?
Yes.
Chapter 2.
Yes.
I want verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that, what?
Perish.
People say they don't mention hell in Paul's epistles. Yeah, but perishing doesn't sound really good either, does it? Perishing is hell. If you perish, you don't have salvation. You all understand? That word perish represents all that you need to know about hell. Look at it again. Verse 10. And with all this evilness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Why did they not get saved? Because they received what? Not the love of the truth. They wouldn't receive it. They would say, you know, I believe it's something I'm doing. You know, I believe my righteousness is... You know, the Bible says all, everything, and I thought about this, because, you know, dealing with the Mennonites up in Kentucky, some of them think it's their goodness. You know what the Bible says? That if you could gather all of your righteousness and bring it before the Lord and just pile it up, you know what He would see it as? Filthy rags. Isaiah 64. Look at it. Look in Isaiah 64. Everything you could think of in your mind that you thought you have done great, that you have mustered up before God, that you thought that you were so proud of, that you said, man, I'm really burning up the Christian trail with this one. All of those things, look if you will in Isaiah 64. Look in Isaiah 64, verse 6. Isaiah 64, verse 6. The Bible says, we are all as unclean things. How are we? We're not like we've whittled out and made ourselves clean before God. There ain't anything you're doing that's mustering up so fantastic before God. God just looks down and says, Tony, you are charming. You know, God isn't sitting up there going, Matt, you've got it going on, brother. He's telling you that we are as all as unclean things. All of our righteousness, everything we can muster up in our mind that we think we're good, the Bible says are as what? Filthy rags. Now, I'm not much for mechanicking, but I have mechanicked a little. I built, restored a 64 and a half Mustang from the ground up. Every bolt on that car came off, was polished, painted, and put back on. Every one of them. From the front to the back. Other than the body and the chassis. I mean, all the mechanical parts underneath. Dad says, you'll never get that back together. I was 16 years of age, and I got it. And there is nothing worse than needing a clean hand and reach over for a rag to wipe your hand so you can get a hold of a nut or whatever, and you grab a greasy rag with lube on it. And you go, what do? You're in a useless situation. All your righteousness that you could muster up, that you could bring before God and set down before Him, He would see as filthy rags. That's what God sees. It isn't about your good works. It isn't about anything like that. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, read with me again in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. And the Bible says this, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish. Why? Why did they perish? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, for what cause? They rejected it, didn't they? God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Listen, if you reject the gospel of the grace of God, and you know what? Many people do reject the gospel of the grace of God and cling on to the gospel of the kingdom. They said, I don't want to hear the gospel. I believe it is my good works that's going to get me in there. I think Leonard or somebody told me the other day on the phone driving back on Saturday, he was talking to someone and he asked a person, he says, why do you think a person goes to hell? And he said, unrepented sins. That's not what 2 Thessalonians said. 2 Thessalonians said the only reason you go to hell today in this dispensation is you reject the grace of God. You reject the message that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and that He rose again the third day for your sin. You reject that? Katie barred the door. There ain't no way you're going to get in. There ain't no way you can do anything more than that. What are you going to add to the finished work of Calvary's cross? What exactly are you going to muster up in yourself to so impress God that He's going to look down upon you and say, man, that person ought to go into heaven? You got anything you want to brag about? I love people that say, well, I believe it's unconvincing. Well, why don't you come up here and lay it out? Because you know what? I know that we're all sinners. And I bet you there's some sins you've never confessed out. You wouldn't want anybody in here to know them. You kept them secret from your wife, your husband. You kept it. There's secrets that if they actually knew about you, they would be uncomfortable around you. See, you know what? You can fool your grandmother and your mamas and your daddies. Do you know who you're not fooling? Nikki, who do you think you're not fooling?
God.
Yeah, you're not fooling God. He knows. He's keeping count. He knows whether you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or you've been faking it this whole time. He knows whether you're just a churchgoer or a money putter inner. I need a few more of those, by the way. A few money putter inners. Listen to me very carefully. He knows there are people that have put money in that plate in this church that have been lost. And you know what? It doesn't matter how much you put in. Can't get into heaven that way. Got it? Doesn't matter about your attendance. When was there a day in your life that you knew you were lost and you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And listen, let me tell you, all of us believe we're going to do something to get into heaven. You know what I used to believe that I was going to do? I was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. I believed that with all my heart. I believed God was going to weigh it out. If I was better than some, then hey, I'd probably go in. How could He deny me who really worked at it, you know? I didn't work at it. I did for about 15 years, but when I got... Nikki, how old are you, 18?
17.
I was like hell on earth. In fact, 17, you know what happened to me? No, this is true. I called my daddy a filthy name one time driving home. I was 17. But he stopped that F-150 about 5 miles from the house, opened the door, and very calmly said, son, get out. I said, okay. I'll walk home. I got home. I didn't realize, but that was the last night I ever slept at that house. Everything I owned was piled up on the front porch, and there was $100 bill stapled to it. That's what we promised you. Have a good life. Wish I'd have kept that dollar. $100. They didn't give me my guitar, and so I hammered on the door until they answered. So the least you can do is give me my guitar, and they were afraid I was going to sell it for drugs. I lived in that car for about 2 or 3 months putting myself through school. Show them how I could prove they were wrong. I was so full of rebellion. You all understand? I mean, rebellion had a hold on me. I praise God my mom and dad kicked me out. Made me grow up. I was rebellious. You know what? From that point on, there was no good Barry and bad Barry. It was all bad Barry. And I was in trouble. So it wasn't like the scales were prompted in the right direction, boys and girls. But on the 24th of August, 1983, which was a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, I was in my bathroom. I trusted the Lord as my Savior. I gave up trying to be self-righteous and all the things you can muster up. One of the driving forces was this event we're talking about called the rapture that I thought was going to happen. before I got it settled. That's a fact. And it will happen before maybe somebody in here will get it settled. But here's the fact we do know. It is going to happen. Now, according to 2 Thessalonians, God's going to send them a strong delusion. You say, God's sending a delusion? That doesn't sound like God. Yeah, but it's because you reject it. It's in judgment that he's sending the delusion. Verse 11, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That lie is the Antichrist. You can put Revelation 13:13. That's the guy right there in your Bible. That they all might be, say it with me, damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God, when you miss the rapture, hey, when you go into eternity, if you did not believe and you miss the rapture, guess what's going to happen to you? God's going to send you a what? A delusion that you'll be leave a lie and that you would be what? That's the course of events if you miss that event. And that event requires an Antichrist, which tells you where the rest of the Bible, Hebrews through Revelation, comes in. Now, I want to show you, and I hope I don't run out of time. Hey, are y'all in a hurry? Yes, you are, I can tell. I want to show you that God is not appointed the church to wrath. The saved individuals are going to go up. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, read with me, if you will, in verse 9. The church, those that are saved, not those that are in Grace Bible Church, but those that are in the body of Christ, those that are in the living church, the only church that is free of all judgment and whatever. Verse 9. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood. How are you justified? By your actions? By your works? No, by His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Are you going to go through wrath? No. God has not appointed us on the wrath. He's going to take us up in the rapture. But these people, guess what they are appointed on to? They are appointed on the wrath. Why? They rejected this back here. That's what causes it. Say, well, it's not a big deal. Listen, your loved ones, I'm telling you folks, people are going to bust hell wide open. People are walking around like, oh man, it's just nothing to it. Man, this stuff is serious. People say, why are you stay fired up? People are dying and going to hell. They have no idea what they believe. Ask them. I dare you. Ask them. Say, hey, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And why would you go there? I can tell you I've asked that question 10,000 plus times. And the answer is almost 100%. The same. Well, I hope I go to heaven. I say, great, why? You know what the answer is? Yeah, I joined the church. I turned my life over to Jesus. I've asked Jesus into my heart. I started living a good life. I'm trying to keep the commandments. Very seldom do I hear the right answer. That Savior went to that cross and died for me, and that my only hope is the fact that He paid for those sins at Calvary's cross. Very seldom do I hear that. Ask it. You'll see you're walking around and everybody around you is going to miss the rapture. And they're not even going to miss you. Look around. You think they're going to miss me when I'm gone? I'm a nobody. Don Ed comes up missing over at Frazier. Where is that boy? They'd hunt for weeks. Barry? Well, he's probably on one of his trips. It's Barry. He'll show up eventually. They wouldn't even hunt. Look, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1. Write that in your... If you got Romans 5 still. Sorry about that. Verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. To wait for His Son from heaven. I'd put 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the what? We're not going through the wrath. There is no reason for us to go through the wrath. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to what? But He appointed somebody to wrath. Who? Those that reject. He's appointed these people who have rejected the gospel back here. They may have thought it was the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they rejected the most fantastic gift that was ever offered to humanity, and that is the fact that God made His Son to be sin for us. And they said, no, we want to do it ourselves. I'm going to confess and get rid of it. Well, you know, what an insult to God. Amen? That's an insult to God. He said in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for He, that is God, hath made Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew what? He didn't know any sin. So why did He die? The wages of sin is death. Where did He get His sin from? From me. He took my sin on. He became me at Calvary's cross that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, if you're righteous, why would you need to be tested? These people all in here are righteous. Because of what they do? No. Because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. These people are not righteous. They're what? They're damned. And the event that slides in the middle is the catching out. That's the event. It could happen at nighttime. It could happen in the morning. It could happen Saturday right before church. Can you imagine you're not sure whether you're saved? And you literally come to the church. It's 9 o'clock. You're a little early. So you rattle the doors. Nobody's there. 9:30. You're starting to feel a little bit nervous. 10 o'clock. Something really is weird. You're the only one there rattling the door. And you thought, man, I thought I had plenty of time. No. He didn't say He was going to give you plenty of time. He said this event would be like a thief in the night. You won't even know it's coming. At 10:15, you start to get nervous, and you get on the phone and you call Wayne. And Wayne's voice goes right to voicemail. Well, I'll call Brother Barry. Maybe something happened to Wayne. Call the home number and it just rings and rings. You leave a voicemail and say, well, I'll get a cell phone. I'll call that. By this time, you're starting to dawn that you just missed. greatest event in the world, and you are now going to be lost for all eternity. You realize you've been faking your belief the whole time, trying to get along with the group. But you were never part of the group. People think the rapture isn't going to come. The rapture's coming. And it's coming whether you like it or not. And it's not... It's not the event of Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24. A lot of people think that in Matthew they mention the rapture. This isn't the rapture, boys and girls. Matthew 24 and verse 36. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's talking about what? Yeah, when the Lord returns after the wrath, that's the date he's talking about in Matthew 24. You know that by the context of Matthew 24 and 25, all have to do with this period for Israel. Y'all understand? All of them. Go back to Matthew 24, verse what? 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the... You see that? We're not teaching the gospel of the kingdom. We're teaching the gospel of the grace of God. Got it? You like that little roll on the R? Nikki, I got you, didn't I, baby? That's it. The grace of God. You know, I was at a grace conference and a guy goes, sometimes grace preachers don't have any grace. Haven't met me yet. I'm joking. Brenda, smile a little. Y'all understand? Well, the gospel of the kingdom ain't the gospel of Christ. Y'all understand? You need a reference. You might want to put in your Bible, if you're a Bible student, Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8 would be a really nice note right there. Go back to Matthew 24, 36. Well, 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Until the day Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Where did the flood take them? In judgment. Now, there's a couple things that's important. One, Noah entered into the ark himself. We're not. We're placed in the body as it has pleased him. Number two, when he got in, the rest that was taken, and they say taken, they think in the rapture. But in the day of Noah, when he entered into that ark, what happened? They were taken in wrath. They were destroyed. Listen to me. I know this is hard for you to understand, and maybe the concept's too big for maybe us as humans to really understand. But outside of that ark, there wasn't just pot smoking and hell raising and beer drinking and biker type cussing on the outside of that ark. There was only 8 people, according to that Bible, that was saved, and the rest were taken in wrath, and they were grandmothers, are you listening to me? And great grandmothers and grandbabies and children and adults. There was only 8 saved, and the rest of the world drowned in God's judgment. Say that isn't fair. Go ahead.
Fair anything.
Doesn't sound fair, does it? But see, Noah made blood sacrifices, and the rest of the world had forsaken God. When the rapture comes, that is going to be one thing. They will be taken. But these people that preach this and Matthew 24 make that taking away the rapture. Buddy, they're not being taken in the rapture. They're being taken in the wrath of God. Look at this. Verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The flood took them that rejected, were outside, them away. So shall the so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the fields. The one shall be taken, the other left. Well, what was the one taken with? Wrath. The one left gets to go where? They get to go in the kingdom. If you're taken, you're gone there. That taken isn't the same taken as catching out of here. It isn't the same. Verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And he gives an illustration in Matthew 25. Talking about this kingdom coming to be set up on earth. Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins. Don't know any of those. We live in a slutty world, don't we?
Sure it is.
I'm not kidding,
slutty,
man.
Slutty.
We live in a world that is depraved. Filthy. It's amazing. Anyway. Be like unto 10 virgins, which the Lord there... took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Talking about the second coming. And the five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but no what? No oil. That's the Holy Spirit. They had all the appearance that they had it. But when it came time to light that lamp, guess what they didn't have? The Holy Spirit. Guess what? They don't get to go in. They're taken in wrath. So, Matthew 24 ain't the answer to the rapture. The rapture is a mystery. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 15. Say, well, I believe the Israel's hope. Israel never anticipated going to heaven. In all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not one time did they say, oh, we're going to die and go to heaven. They were always planning to go in the what? Into the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? Here on earth. Where judgment and justice will be done here in the earth. They never anticipated leaving the planet. It is fascinating to me. You ever get fascinated? I get fascinated. I'm amazed at John 14. You know, I mean... How many's heard John 14? Probably all your life you've heard John 14. What does it say?
In my Father's house.
In my Father's house are many
mansions. And I go to prepare a place.
Well, those mansions are in a city being brought down on the earth. You got it? They never anticipated going to heaven. But everybody that dies is fascinating. Everybody, see how I snuck this in, Carlton? This was for you, brother. Everybody that dies in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Lazarus was resurrected in John 11, and he didn't go, oh, I'm still on earth. He didn't say that. He expected to be here on earth. Y'all understand? Because the kingdom was going to be set up on earth. The rapture isn't an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. Two different hopes. Two different callings. In 1 Corinthians 15, look, if you will, in verse 50. How are we doing on time? Whew! All right, I do work overtime, but I am time and a half, so somebody's going to have to put in some extra in the pot. You all on the internet can hit the donation button and we'll go a little bit longer. Otherwise, we're going to cut the internet off. No, I'm just kidding. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 50. Y'all with me? For this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Well, they're going to have flesh filled. You remember when Jesus was in the Spirit on the earth? What did He say? Take your hands, Thomas, and thrust it into my hands. Thrust it into my side. It's me. Not you. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a... Well, that kingdom coming on earth wasn't no mystery. They've been talking about that for 4,000 years of the Old Testament. It wasn't something like, surprise! You got it? It wasn't that. They anticipated. But this rapture, He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Did it say the dead were already raised? No. There is a misnomer going around everywhere that when we die, we go immediately into heaven. I have tried to work that out in the Scriptures so many ways. It just doesn't work. When that last trump, what happens? The dead shall be raised at that point. Well, if they're raised already, then they don't need to be raised at that point. You got it? Now, I know that bothers everybody, but listen, if you're in Christ, it shouldn't bother you. You're at peace. It doesn't matter. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
There is an event coming. Listen to me. That there will be a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. And what did the Bible say? The dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Then we which are alive. Well, let me diagram that. If this is the trump, and we hear the trumpet, what happens? There's the dead. They do what? And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the moment that event happens, if you have not trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've laid back, you've held back, you're thinking, well, it sounds right, you know, I feel like I believe what Brother Barry's saying, but you haven't gotten in the wheelbarrow, guess what? You're still lost. You know what? We're not here to play games at this church. We're here to make sure you have eternal life. That you don't miss the greatest event that is about to happen to the world. It is the next event that will happen. Listen to me, very careful. In Bible things, and it will start to unreal. As soon as that happens, guess what comes about? All the prophecies from here forward that was predicted back here will start to come to play. And if you've heard today the gospel that Christ died for your sins, God will send you personally a strong delusion and you will believe a lie. Now listen to me. You can resolve all those issues right now here. You could be faking it out. I faked it for years. You know, from about 15 to 18, then I quit faking and then I got saved at 24. Tony got saved so many times he didn't know how he got saved. 8, 12, I mean, he walked it out. I said, brother, when did you get saved? And listen, till that day comes, you can have all the religious experience, you can do all the religious things. And listen to me very carefully. You cannot have the peace of God until you have that moment when you trusted Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? I listened to Wayne's testimony time and time again, I love hearing testimonies of people. Wayne said, you know, for a big guy, he would lay down and his heart would start to, and he would start to freak out that he was going to die and go to hell. He'd try to confess up his sins and thinking the next day he'd get guilty again. He never had the peace of God. He came over to that thing. We had about a four-hour, three-hour Bible study. Miss Mary was there. And he said he was driving down home, and he got to a stoplight or someplace, and the vehicle stopped, and he trusted the Lord. He said it was the first night in his life that he ever laid down his head and had peace. Not worried about where we are going. You can't get there on your husband's shoestrings, ladies. And women, you can't get there on your men's testimonies. Mamas can't get there on their children's testimonies. Children can't get there on their mamas. You know, let me tell you what the realization is that event's coming. What happened if it came tonight? Would you be prepared? I want you to think for just a minute. I know, and here's the thing I want you to see, is God knows very well what's going in your mind right now. You got it? God knows what's going on in your mind. He knows the conflict, or if you're arguing with yourself, oh, you're saved. You got that argument going on. He knows. Nobody else knows. But you know. And you know whether you have the peace of God. Right now, you know it. I'm going to clap my hands together, and that's going to be the rapture. And you will know immediately whether you're going or you're left behind. So as I'm sitting here talking, I want you to just think for a minute, because nobody needs to know but you. You need to know. And if you're not sure, and you're not sure what you did when you were a baby, say, well, I got saved when I was young. Hey, straighten it up now if you're confused about it. If you're not having any peace, if you're having doubt, because the rapture, at that moment, you know whether you were saved or not. You knew in your mind whether you'd go or whether you were a little bit nervous. That's how it's going to be. That is how it's going to be. And you can settle the matter right now if you're still breathing, because the rapture hadn't happened. So why are you putting it off? What is it that you're struggling with? What is it you think you've done that's so great that God's so impressed with you that the work at Calvary didn't do enough? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. Hey, I'm no good. I realize I'm a failure from the get-go. But I know for a fact that when that shout comes, when that voice of the archangel comes, God's going to take me. And I don't worry. If you worried at all, then you're lost. And here's the thing. Just relax. God knows you're lost now. He's trying to make a way that you could be saved. But if you reject Him, He will not feel uncomfortable sending you a strong delusion that you will believe a lie. Now listen, you don't have to worry about your death coming. You don't have to worry about a drunk hitting you on your way home. What you have to worry about is the rapture. You know what? And if you're uncomfortable about that, you need to call me. You need to call me if you're uncomfortable. You know why? I don't want you to go to hell. At all. Say, well, I thought I got saved. It doesn't matter what you thought. If you feel uncomfortable, get saved. Say, well, I thought I've done everything. Yeah, it isn't about you. You don't have to do a thing. Just believe. And that's what Grace Bible Church is all about. I hope you're planning to go in the rapture with us. I'm done.